to be in the house of the Lord this morning. We do appreciate the Lord blessing us with the privilege to be here, and Brother Mark entrusting us with the pulpit while he was gone. That's something I don't take lightly. And I sure do thank the Lord for the opportunity this morning. If you have your Bibles, you can be turned in 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter number 4, familiar passage of scripture for our text this morning. Try our best to share with you what the Lord's laid on our hearts. I was thinking as they were singing earlier, I was thinking about that first song they sung. I'm amazed and I'm thankful this morning. I don't understand it, nor can I explain it. But there is a holy God in heaven that created the whole world, holds it on the palm of his hand, Brother Benjamin, but yet still thinks about me. That cares about me personally and the needs that I have personally in my life that maybe nobody else in this world knows anything about. But he takes notice of that. I believe a psalmist it was that said, precious are his thoughts of you and I. I'm telling you, I'm glad there's a God in heaven that cares about our needs and where we're at personally, where we're at, what we need, and cares about us as small and as big as they may be. I'm glad he cares this morning. He's interested in us today. And I hope and pray that he'll come and help us this morning through the Word of God and give us what we need this morning. 2 Kings chapter number 4, I'd like to ask you, if you would, to stand in reverence reading God's Word. Read just the first 7 verses of the chapter, and then we'll pray. Verse number 1, the Bible says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? She said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So when she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels unto her, she poured out. It came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. Let's pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, Lord, as we come before you once again, Lord, I sure am thankful, Lord, once again for the opportunity, Lord, and the privilege to be in your house today with your people. Lord, I thank this church, this dear people, Lord, I grew up around these people, Lord, and had many church services and revivals and meetings, God, and I appreciate their faithfulness, God, still serving and still following after you and leading others to you, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Brother Mark and the influence he's been in my life, and I appreciate him this morning. I pray that you touch and help him and their family, God, as they're traveling, Lord. I pray that you give them a good time, good trip, and bring them back safely. Lord, I'm thankful for the opportunity and honor and privilege, Lord, to stand and preach your word today. Lord, I pray that you please touch us and help us, Lord. I realize, Lord, within me there dwells no good thing. Lord, my righteousness is nothing but filthy rags. Lord, I'm helpless, Lord, without you. But God, if you come this way this morning, Lord, and make yourself real to us today, I let the Holy Ghost work and move in our hearts and our lives today. Lord, that you take your word beyond our ears and plant deep in our hearts. I pray that nobody would see me, they'd see you high and lifted up this morning and hear from heaven that I'd just be a vessel and just a mouthpiece, God, that you could use, that you'd do the preaching this morning, and that you'd bless your word, you'd speak to our hearts, and do the work, Lord, that you want to do for in our lives today. Help us be sensitive and obedient to you this morning. Lord, I pray, Lord, especially if they've been here lost, they've been saved by the grace of God, that God, the Holy Ghost, would deal with their heart and draw them unto you. Lord, they might be saved today, Lord, before it's everlasting too late. Lord, all that you do, we'll try our very best to thank you and praise you for it. For it's in Jesus' precious and holy name I humbly pray. And amen.
Thank you. Be seated.
2 Kings chapter number 4, like I said, it's a familiar text that we're very acquainted with this morning. No doubt we've heard several messages preached and Sunday school lessons taught. I'm probably not going to give you anything new this morning, but I do hope and pray that it'd be fresh and that it would be timely this morning, what we need for the hour in which we're in. 2 Kings chapter number 4, we read this passage of Scripture, and the Bible tells us about a young lady. It says, there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. We know that Elisha was the man of God of the day in which we're reading about here. And we find this young lady, she's cried unto the man of God. And we look, first of all, in verse number 1, we find her situation and her circumstance. We see the circumstance that she finds herself in her life. First of all, she finds herself with an unexpected loss. What I can see and what I read in this passage of Scripture, we find that her husband has died. He has left and went off the scene and went off into eternity. And she's left behind her and her two, at least two, possibly more, small children still at home. That's why I believe she was a young lady. I believe they were a young family, a young couple, because their children were still young and still at home. And for whatever reason, something happens and the husband's gone. He's died and he's left. He's gone. He's no longer with them. I believe it was unexpected. I don't think it was something they saw coming. I don't think it was something they were prepared for or looking for. Something happened. We don't know all the details, but he died. Whether he was killed or whether he got sick or what the case may be, maybe an accident, but something happened and took him out of their home and out of their life. Ain't it amazing how just in a moment and in a twinkling of an eye, your life can be absolutely normal, just another normal, ordinary day, and all it takes is one phone call and your world can be absolutely turned upside down. All of a sudden they can be sorrow and grief and worry and pain come over you in a matter of a moment. We realize this morning how fragile our lives are and how things can change so quickly in life for the good or for the bad. Things come into our lives sometimes absolutely blindside you. Something that you're not expecting, you're not anticipating. And just as was here in this young lady's life, she finds herself with an unexpected loss. Something comes into her way that she was not expecting, something she didn't ask for, something no doubt she didn't want, but it came nonetheless. Can I say to you, we read this passage of Scripture, the Bible said he was the son of the prophet, and the Bible said that his servant, that my husband is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. I believe it's a good, godly young couple trying to live right, trying to do right, trying to serve God. But yet this still came into their life. Can I just stop and say to you this morning, just because we live right and try to do right does not mean that trouble's not going to come. It does not mean that we're not going to have our share of problems, our share of storms and struggles in life. But I'm glad we do have a helper. I'm glad there is a Holy Ghost of God that lives on the inside. And I'm glad even when we don't know what to pray, when we're dealing with grief and sorrow, worry and fretting what tomorrow holds, I'm glad even when we don't know what to say, I'm glad he can go on our behalf to a holy God and plead our case. And I'm glad we have a helper. We have an advocate with the Father. I'm glad we have a comforter. I'm glad he told the disciples, he said, I'm going away, but I won't leave you comfortless. I'm glad there is a great comforter. I thought about Job, the great man of God that Job was. The Bible said that he was an upright man, perfect to fear God and eschewed evil. I mean, he lived a godly life. He wasn't necessarily completely perfect without sin, but the Bible said he eschewed sin. He tried to stay far, far away from it and tried to live right, teach his family and train his family and his children right. But the Bible said, I believe it's in chapter number 3, verse number 26, yet trouble came. This idea that people's passing around, that if you'll just do right and just give your money and do this and do that, you'll never have no problems, you'll never have no storms, no struggles or trials, that's a lie, that's a deception from the devil, that's just to get people discouraged, just to get people to give up and quit when they do face struggles and trials, just to cause them to throw in the towel and say, well, it didn't work for me, I must not have been doing something right. No, friend, problems come to the good. The Bible said it rains on the just and the unjust. Just as it does the bad people. I've seen some of the godliest and greatest people in my life go through some awful struggles and suffer great things. But I'm glad we do have a comforter. Her circumstance, she had an unexpected loss. Because of that unexpected loss, she also had an unattainable need. There's a need in her life. Apparently something had happened. They had incurred a debt. They had grown a debt, whatever the case may be. I don't know if it was a debt that they were trying to pay while the husband was still alive, or if it was a debt because the husband died, trying to make it without that income and that provider that husband was to his family. But nonetheless, she has an unattainable need that she cannot meet. She said, the creditor has come and he's about to take my children to be bondmen, and she's needing help. This wasn't an ordinary need. This wasn't just a what am I going to eat today or what am I going to wear today. This ain't where am I going to go, what am I going to do today. This is probably the greatest need that she's ever faced in her life.
She is in danger of losing her children. I mean, the most important thing in her life, the most precious thing in her life was her children, and she's in danger of losing them, possibly to never see them again. Not only to lose them and not to see them again, but can you imagine the thoughts that are going in her mind of the lifestyle and the suffering they would have to go through as bondmen? She's not only at risk of losing them, Brother Benjamin, and never seeing them again, but what kind of life are they going to have to live? What kind of shape are they going to be in? Being bondmen, being servants, being slaves. What's going to happen to my children?
This is not an ordinary need. This is the greatest need, no doubt, this young lady's ever faced in her life. We see her circumstances. Things don't look too good in her life right now. Notice her cry. Bible said she cried. There cried a certain woman. She cries, and we see she cries to the man of God, Elisha, here. I want to notice, first of all, about her cry is a fearful cry. As I just said, this is the greatest need of her life. I can't think of anything more fearful in my life than to lose my children. I mean, that's the most fearful thing that I can think of, Brother Brandon. I can't think of anything more fearful in my mind whatsoever of losing my children. That's the fear that she had of losing her children, her most precious things in this world, her children. She's in danger of losing them. She's fearful. I believe she had every right to be fearful. What troubles me is there's a world full of people today that aren't fearful for their children. What troubles me today is there's a world full of people that don't even care about their children, where they go, what they do, what they're getting involved in. That's what worries me. We ought to be fearful. We ought to be concerned about the shape of our children, where they're headed, and what kind of life they're going to live, and trying our best to pour into them everything we can while we can, so that when they are out on their own, that they make the right choices and decisions, and God keeps that hedge around about them. She was fearful for her children. It was a fearful cry. It was an urgent cry. I read this passage of Scripture many times growing up. It wasn't until just recently, the last few months, something stood out to me when I read verse number 1. The Bible said, "Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord." Look at what it says here in this next phrase. It says, "And the creditor is come." For some reason, when I read that, I always read that the creditor's coming. But that ain't what the Bible said. It said he is come. I wonder if he's even at the doorstep. As she's going to the man of God, he's sitting and waiting. He's at the door. He's already knocked on the door. She knows who he is. She knows why he's there. And she doesn't have a moment's time to waste. I mean, it's as urgent as it can possibly be. He shows up at that doorstep. He's waiting. She says, I'm supposed to have to the end of the day. He said, "That's all right. I'll wait." He's waiting, maybe just to the end of the day. She has to the end of the day to try and come up with that debt. He's already ready to collect. He has no confidence in her or whatsoever. He's not expecting her to pay off this debt. He's expecting to take those boys back with him. He's come. He's already at the doorstep. He's ready and waiting. She may have to the end of the day. Whatever the time she got, it ain't very long. He's already there. It's not he's coming in a day or two or a week or a month or two. He's already here. The creditor has come. There was no time to waste. There wasn't no time to sit and think about it or talk about it. There was no time. She had to do something right then and right there. And she goes to the man of God, "You've got to help me, and I mean right now. I can't wait. I don't have a moment to spare. The creditor is already here. He's come. And if I don't do something, probably by the end of the day, my boys are headed. They're going out with him." Her cry, it was fearful and it was urgent. We ain't got a lot of time to waste. The world's getting darker every day, and we're nearing the Lord's appearing every day. And if you're going to do something for God, if you're going to get your children as close to God and hope and pray to get to see them saved by the grace of God, you don't have no time to waste. Can I remind you that we can go out to the cemeteries today and find them all ages? They're not promised tomorrow any more than you and I as adults are promised tomorrow.
God, help us to have a fearful cry and an urgent cry in our hearts and our lives. God, please save my children. God, please help me to teach them and train them and raise them right and be close to them, be the example that I need to be, because we don't know how long we'll have them. She said, I'm about to lose my children. Somebody's got to help me. Her cry. Then we'll notice this. This is where my heart's really at. This is the heart of the message this morning. Notice the commitment of her neighbors. The man of God tells her, he said, go to thy neighbors and borrow thee vessels, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. She tells him what she has in the house. She said, I have nothing in the house save a pot of oil. Talking about that unattainable need, I believe she had done everything she possibly could. I believe she's done sold everything she's got. There was literally, I believe when she said that, I take it literal. I believe she literally had nothing left inside that home except that one pot of oil. She's done sold and gotten rid of everything else she's got. She's done all, I give her a good A for effort. She's tried, but she's not just sitting back being lazy and wanting somebody else to fix everything in her life. She's trying. She's putting forth the effort. She's sold everything she's got. You know, we look at our homes today. We've got a lot of things, especially here in the United States of America. God has blessed us beyond all measure. And we've got so many things. We fill our homes with so many things we take for granted. But if hard enough times came, we start to sell things off and get rid of things. You start prioritizing things in your life, what you really need, what you don't really need, and she starts getting rid of things. Maybe at first it's things that don't mean a whole lot, maybe things that she don't really care too much about, but as it gets less and less and less in that home, no doubt there's probably some things that's pretty valuable to her. Maybe not monetarily speaking, but maybe sentimental value, things that meant a lot to her, things that brought memories into her mind of maybe her children, maybe her husband, the time that they spent together, maybe when they first met or whatever it may be, things that even had great sentimental value. She's willing to give up anything and everything in her life to try and save her children. But she's done all she can do. She has reached the end of herself. I give her an A for effort. But can I just stop and say tonight or this morning, we don't have to get rid of everything and go so long and so far till we get to the end of ourselves. Why is it that we'll exhaust everything we can within ourselves before we're willing to go to Him? If we just go to Him a lot quicker and a lot sooner, we wouldn't have to exhaust so many things in our own heart and in our own mind if we just go to Him sooner. Had she went to the man of God sooner, the Creator may not have ever made it to her doorstep had she went to Him sooner. But she had to reach the end of herself. Friend, you're here this morning, you got something in your life, you got a need in your life. God's waiting on you to get to the end of yourself. He'll let you, as long as you want to take care of it and handle it yourself, He'll let you try. But I'm glad He's ready and willing if we'll ever just get to the end of ourselves. Lord, I realize this morning I can't. This need in my life is too big, it's too great. I can't fix the problem. I can't meet the need. But God, I know You can if You will. If we come to the end of ourselves as she did, she came to the end of herself. And she goes to the man of God, and the man of God says, what do you have? She said, I have nothing but a pot of oil. Boy, I love what the Word of God says. You read your Bible and you study, you'll find the oil is a type and picture of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad, Brother Benjamin, when it don't seem like we've got anything left. Anything else left in the whole wide world, I'm glad there is a comforter that we done talked about this morning. I'm glad there's a friend that stays closer than a brother. You can lose everything you've got physically in this world, but I'm glad there's one that'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm glad when God saved me by the grace of God, God the Holy Ghost took up abode in my heart, and He lives there, and He walks with me, and He talks to me, and anywhere I go, whatever I do, He's there. I'm glad there's some oil left in the house. I'm glad there's still some oil. She done lost everything else, but I'm glad there's some oil still in the house. The commitment of her neighbors. He said, go to thy neighbors and borrow thee vessels, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. Don't just get a few either. Get as many as you can get. Get all that you can carry and then go back and get some more. Get all the vessels you can. Go to every door, knock on every door, go to every vessel. Get all the vessels you can possibly get. She's probably thinking, well, I ain't got enough oil for that many vessels. I don't have enough oil. I won't need that many vessels. Those boys, the Bible said, start bringing her them vessels. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself. But they go knocking on doors to those neighbors. Her boys do. Can I borrow your vessel? You got any empty vessels laying around that we could borrow, that we could use? I mean, whether it be a pot or a jar or a cup or even a bowl, whatever you got. You got anything that'll hold some oil in it? And they go knocking on those doors. They go to those vessels. Those neighbors, some of them might have been perfect strangers. Man, never talked to them before. Had no idea who they were. They couple young boys comes up to the door, knocking on the door. You got any vessels, anything that'll hold any oil? They may not even know who them kids were. What in the world do you want that for? I don't know all the details. I don't know how they went about it or what was said or done. We don't know all that. All we know is there were some neighbors that cared enough and thought enough that they were willing to loan an empty vessel. I want to notice, first of all, about these vessels, the commitment of her neighbors. There was only one requirement. There's one requirement that we read in our Bible. It says that it had to be empty. You stop and think about that. Makes sense, right? If the vessel's already full, she can't put no oil in it. It's already full. It has no more room for anything else. It has reached its capacity. It's already full. A full vessel's not going to do her any good. She can't do anything with a full vessel. So I dare say that those neighbors, some of them may have had some vessels, but they already had something in them. They had a choice to make, Brother Brandon. Am I willing to pour out what I've got in my vessel? Am I willing to empty it out and pour out what's in my vessel so that God can use it for somebody else? Am I willing to give up what I've been holding in my vessel and let somebody else take it and use it? Am I willing to pour it out? Am I willing to empty my vessel? Had to be. That's the only requirement. Only one requirement. But can I tell you, that sometimes can be a real big requirement. I don't know about you, but I struggle with this. I'm not preaching to nobody else this morning. I'm preaching to me. We let our vessels get so full of so many things. So full. We live in a technological society today. We've got devices in every pocket, in every hand. We've got TVs on every wall. We've got computers. We've got social media. We've got ball games. We've got hunting season coming up, fishing season winding down, hunting season start. We've got all these things that fill our vessels. And there ain't necessarily anything wrong with these things. When our vessel's so full of all these things that God can't fill us with any oil, we're missing out. We're missing the whole purpose and the whole point of why the Lord has us here. If we're saved by the grace of God, our whole purpose is to be filled with oil so that God can do something with our life. But we're bad to let it get so full of so many things. And like I said, I'm preaching to myself, if nobody else this morning. We let it get, it's so easy. Just let all these things fill our vessels. I love to hunt. It's not quite as bad as it used to be. Boy, I'm telling you, Lord forgive me, but come October, November, I wasn't fit for much. It didn't matter if I was at church or at school or work or whatever it was, my mind was in the woods the whole time. That's all I could think about. Ain't nothing wrong with hunting, but when that's all I can think about, that's a problem. That's a problem. When all I can think about is the football game on Saturday and I ain't got time to read my Bible or pray, that's a problem. My vessel's probably just a little bit, brother, it's probably just a little too full. It's too full. If I've not got time to let God pour some oil in my vessel, I'm too full. I'm too full on other things. I love pocket knives. Me and Brother Brandon was talking about pocket knives. Case pocket knives for church. I love to collect them and look at them. You can get on your phone at any given night of the week and probably find three or four auctions going on at any time. I can sit there and watch them, not even buy a thing, and just enjoy watching them, looking at them. But if I've got too much time to do that, not enough time to read or pray, I'm messing up. I'm missing out. I told you I'm preaching to myself this morning. Y'all just going to have to bear with me. But we get too full. We let our vessels get too full. Sometimes we need to just stop. And just take and pour them out. Just dump everything out. Pour it all out. And get filled. The requirements, they had to be empty vessels. Notice there was no reservations on these vessels. I don't find anywhere in this passage of Scripture where anybody put a time limit. Now I got to have that vessel back by the end of the day. Or I got to have that vessel back tomorrow. You can only borrow it a week. I got to have that vessel. You better bring that vessel back. I need that vessel back. I don't find where anybody put any time restraints, no reservations on when they had to bring it back. Just take it and use it. Just use it, take it, fill it, carry it, do whatever you need to do. You just bring it back when you're done with it. Now, if you go to the if you go down here to town, maybe a rental company or something other, and you rent a piece of equipment to get a job done that you can't do on your own. Probably only need it for one day or two just to do a job. It's not worth spending the money to buy one. You just need to borrow it for a day or two to accomplish what you need to do, and that's all you need it for. You go down there and you reserve it for this amount of time, maybe for a week from Monday to Saturday, and they're expecting on Saturday for you to bring that piece of equipment back. Whether you're done with it or not, you got a time restraint. Hey, you got to bring it back. If you don't, it's going to cost you. There's going to be some penalties. But ain't it like a neighbor? It ain't like this in the cities anymore. But I'm glad, thank God, it's still in the hills and the mountains and the little hollers. I'm glad there's still some neighbors that love and care about each other and still know who each other are. But ain't it like a neighbor? I'm not using it right now. I don't need you. Just keep it till you get done with it. Just keep it till you're through with it. That's fine. I know you'll bring it back. You just hang on to it. Matter of fact, you just keep it, and I'll let you know when I need it back. That's more like a neighbor. You just let me know when you're done with it. We'll get it whenever you're done, whenever you're through. I don't need it right now anyway. There was no time restraint. Not only was there no reservations of time, there was no reservations of use. I don't find where anybody told them, now you can't just do anything with my vessel. It's not dishwasher safe. You don't put that in the microwave. We go to the store first. It don't matter how pretty that coffee cup is. My wife, first thing she's going to do is pick it up and look on the bottom of it. Is it dishwasher and microwave safe? If it ain't dishwasher safe, she ain't going to have it. She just don't need it. It don't matter how pretty it is. I'll find another one. First thing she wants to see, is it dishwasher and microwave safe? No restraints on how she can use it. I don't find where a single neighbor, they could have been, but not in our text. We don't see that. Now, you can't just put anything in my vessel. Now, you got to keep a certain temperature. Don't put nothing hot or nothing cold in it. Now, you take good care. I don't find any of that. Some of you probably tell where I'm trying to get to. There was no reservations. Not only the reservations, but what about the results? They're trying to accomplish something, right? They're on a mission. They're trying to pay off a debt so that these children don't become slaves. They have a purpose. There is an end goal to what they're doing. They're looking for some results. They're expecting something to happen out of these acts, these choices, these decisions, and these instructions that the man of God has given them. They're expecting something to happen. These neighbors, they're willing to pour out whatever's in their vessel and loan it to this family, this young lady and her children that are in need. They're willing to loan it out. They may not even know what she was going to do with them. They may not even asked, what are you doing with that? Where are you taking that? They may have, may not have. Didn't matter. The results wasn't up to them. The results was up to her. Once they loaned the vessel, once they gave that empty vessel to those boys to take to that mama pouring that oil, the rest was up to them. They done their part. All they could do was loan an empty vessel. The rest was up to them. The results, it wasn't up to them whether or not the debt was paid. All that, they done their part. They loaned a vessel. The rest was up to them what they done with it. Can I say to this morning, God's looking for some empty vessels. If we're willing to pour out what we've got, let Him fill us up and do something in our lives and quit trying to put time restraints on the Lord. Lord, I'll serve You on Sunday. Lord, I'll give You Wednesday night, but the rest of the week's mine. God don't operate like that. If you're saved by the grace of God, you've been bought and paid for. God bought 100%. I'm glad not just part of me is going to heaven. I'm glad all of me is going to heaven. I'm glad none of me is going to hell this morning. God bought and paid for every bit of me, every moment of the day. I don't always give Him every moment of the day, not by any means, but I ought to. I should. He deserves it. He paid for it. He's not. Lord, I'll wait till I'm older to serve You or do something for You. Lord, I'm going to do what I want to with my vessel right now. Year or two, maybe next month I'll give you my vessel. But right now it's mine. I want to do with it what I want to. I want to put in my vessel what I want to put in my vessel. Lord, I'll give it to you for this week, but next week I want it back. God's looking for a lifetime commitment. He wants you to let go of it and let go of it for good. Give your whole heart and your whole life to Him. Let Him do something with it. I promise you, you'll not regret it. If you'll just let Him have it, trust Him with it. Don't put no time restraints on it. Don't put no use restraint. I remember when God was dealing my heart about preaching and about surrendering my heart and life to God, I kept putting restrictions on God. God, I'll do this, but I ain't going to do that. Lord, I'll go here, but I'm not going there. I wasn't submitting. I wasn't surrendering my life because I was still restricting what God could do. Full submission and full surrender to God says, God, I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything. Lord, if you want me to go to China or to the deserts in Africa or to the jungle of South America, Lord, if that's what you want for my life, that's what I'll do. That's surrender. That's submission. I really wonder when the rubber meets the road, how many of us have ever really, truly got to that point in our lives where we'd go anywhere and do anything. We may say we would, but what if God was to put it in your heart tonight? All right, I want you to quit your job tomorrow. I want you to sell your house, pack your bags, and you're going to Brazil. Now, how many of us could really say, I'd go quit my job in the morning, I'd pack my bags, I'd put my house on the market, I'd start deputation, I'd go to Brazil. That's easier said than done. But that's what He's looking for. I'm not saying God's going to call us all to Brazil. I'm just saying we ought to be willing to go. God's just looking for somebody that's willing. He's not going to call you to do something that He's not going to give you the ability to do. He's not going to call you to do something that's impossible. He just wants to know how willing are you. Are you willing to offer a vessel? Are you willing to give Him your vessel? Say, God, I don't care how long, till the day I die, you can have it and do whatever you want to with it. It's yours. You bought and paid for it. Here's my vessel. That's what He's wanting this morning. He's just needing a vessel. He's not asking for anything impossible. He just wants somebody to be willing to give their vessel to Him. He's looking for an empty vessel. I'm glad, thank God, the results ain't up to you and I. Our part's just giving Him a willing vessel. The results are up to Him. What happens with our life if we'll entrust it with Him? What happens with our life is up to Him. I'm glad the results are not up to me. I can't save anybody. I can't help nobody. There's nothing in me that I can do for anybody. If anything is good, said, or done, it's through Him this morning. I'm glad the results are up to Him. It's not up to me. I struggled with that when I was doing the call to preach on my life. I said, God, I can't do nothing for nobody. I sure can't save nobody. I can't help nobody. God said, all I want you to do is surrender. I'll do it. I just want to use you to do it. You're just an empty vessel. The Bible says we're created from the dust of the ground. We're just vessels of clay. If we'll just submit ourselves to the potter, let him worry about the results. It's not up to us to see results. It's up to us just to be willing to go and do. Let him take care of the results. Let him worry about what happens afterwards. Just give it to him. Then I thought about this very quickly, and we're moving on. There was no recognition. We don't know a single name of any one of those neighbors that's willing to give up their vessel. Don't know one of them. Don't know their address. We don't know the radius, how far those boys went out, knocking on doors for those vessels. We don't know a single one of them. They're unnamed. We know there was some. But we don't know who they are or anything about them. Can I say to you this morning, if you're serving God and doing something for Him, if you're doing it just so people notice you and pat you on the back and tell you good job and give you an attaboy, you're in it for the wrong reasons. That may be why you're not seeing the results that you're hoping and praying for, because you're in it for the wrong reasons. Paul was one of the greatest men of God that's ever walked on the face of the earth, went through things and suffered more things and probably told more people about the Lord than we'll probably ever dream of. And all the things that Paul accomplished and all the things that he was willing to suffer and go through, Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross. If Paul had nothing in the world to glory about, I dare say you and I have got anything to glory in. I dare say there's anything that we need to be proud of and boastful of and say, hey, everybody, look at me. If the man of God, Paul himself, said, God forbid that I should glory saving the cross, I sure don't have anything to glory in. It's all in him. He said, saving the cross. It's all about him. That's what we do it for. We don't do it for a good job and a pat on the back, but I want to do it for him. I want to do it for him. Notice this. I'm moving on very quickly. Notice there's an emphasis on a closed door. The man of God told her, he said, go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. Thou shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons. I thought about this as I was studying this. I said, why is it so important? Why is there so much emphasis placed on this shut door? Why is that such a big deal? I believe the work of the Holy Ghost is still a holy thing, don't you? I believe that's a holy thing. And for God to fill us with oil, we believe that's a type and picture of the Holy Ghost. If we're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, if we're going to have the touch and the power of God on our lives, and God's going to do something in our lives, it's going to take some time spent with just him shutting everything else out. Pushing everything else out, getting rid of all the distractions, cutting the TV and the phone, whatever it may be, pushing it all aside and just getting along with him. They shut everything else out. Shut it all out. Nothing and nobody else mattered at this moment in time other than filling those vessels with oil. That's all that mattered. If we're really going to get the touch of the power of God on our lives, I believe like God would have for us and what God wants to do in our lives, if we're going to get filled with the Holy Ghost, we're going to have to shut some things out for a little while. We're going to have to set aside some time and make it a priority in our lives to go get somewhere behind a shut door. The Bible talks about our prayer closet. Now, when I think about a closet, that's a small room, usually with a lot of stuff packed inside of it. Small room with a door. You may only have just enough room for you to get out on your knees. And I ain't saying it's got to be in a literal closet, but somewhere, somehow, sometime, just you and God shutting everything else out. It could be up on the mountainside somewhere in the woods. It could be in a bathroom, wherever it may be, but somewhere where you just get along, just you and God. Just you and him, and you make him priority. And you're like, Lord, I'm not worried about the ball score right now. I'm not interested in trail cameras and what the weather is outside. I'm not interested in an auction. I'm not interested in a sale downtown at the store. I'm not interested in anything else. Just want you. Lord, I just want you. Lord, I need to be filled. Lord, I'm empty. I'm empty, and I need you to fill me. I need you to fill me. If we're going to accomplish anything for him, that's where we're going to have to get to. That's what we need. We need him to fill us up. We need him to take the oil, the Holy Ghost, and fill us up. He said, be you filled. I'm glad we can be filled this morning if we want to be. We can be filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't think we see near as much of that as we used to years ago. I remember being around some people that was so full of the Holy Ghost, it made me plumb uncomfortable, Brother Brandon, just to be around them. I mean, it brought conviction in my heart and in my life just being around them. They were so full of the Holy Ghost. I don't see a lot of that anymore. I believe we can. I believe we can still get that full of the Holy Ghost today as they used to years ago. It's just harder, it seems like, because there's a lot more distractions in our lives today than there was back then. They didn't have all the technology and all the distractions and all the things in front of them that we do today, but I'm glad it's still possible. It may take a little bit more effort, but it's well worth it, and it's still possible if we want to. The closed door, it was a personal miracle. It wasn't meant for anybody else. Like I said before this morning, God's interested in you personally, your personal needs. Some things that God wants to do in your heart's not for anybody else. Nobody else has to see it. Nobody else has to know anything about it. God just wants to do something for you personally. Some of the best times I've ever had with the Lord, believe it or not, and yes, you may think this is funny, but some of the best times I've ever had in my life with the Lord was sitting on a lawnmower mowing grass. I mean, you may think that's funny and that's silly, but I'll put me a song or some preaching on in my ears, And there ain't nothing else on my mind, just cutting grass and the Word of God being preached or sung about. And I'm telling you, just like God just came and sit on that lawnmower with me, brother, and just rode with me. You can ask my wife, I've come in from mowing before just to squalling my eyes out, God just filling me plumb full. I didn't have to broadcast it, everybody didn't have to know about it. It wasn't for anybody else. It's just me and God. It was just meant for me personally. God has some personal blessings just for you this morning. It's not even intended for anybody else. It's just for you. God loves you personally as an individual and wants to bless you personally. Something that your spouse may not even know about. God just wants to work in your heart. I'm glad He's personal this morning. Moving on very quickly, and I'm almost through. I thought about the capacity of the vessels. The Bible said that she poured. Now I think about this pot of oil. If it was a great big pot, there's no way that one young lady could take and pour a great big pot. No way. She'd have had to have a ladle or a cup or something to dip it out with. But the Bible said that she poured. I don't think this is a very big pot. I think this is probably a small pot like we would cook with. That's why I said she probably thought, well, I don't even need that many vessels. I ain't got enough oil to fill that many vessels. But those boys start bringing those vessels into the house, and she's got the door closed. She's pouring that oil in those vessels. Just a small pot, small enough that she can physically handle pouring. And she keeps pouring. And she keeps pouring. And they keep bringing vessel after vessel after vessel, and she just keeps pouring. She asked the boys, she said, bring me yet a vessel. The boy said, Mama, we've gone all the way outside of town. There ain't nobody's got a vessel left. There ain't no more vessel. We've got all that they'll let us have. There ain't no vessels left. She filled every vessel in town up. Bible said there was still oil left in the pot. I wonder if she could even tell a difference in it from when she first began to start pouring until she filled them all. I wonder if she could even tell much a difference in the oil level of the pot. Did she get down to the bottom and that little bit just kept pouring out, or did it stay full? I don't know. I don't know. It don't really matter, but nonetheless, she had more than enough oil to fill all the vessels. Can I say to you this morning, He's got more than enough oil to fill every one of our vessels if we'll just let Him have them. He's got more than enough. I don't know about you, but I got a leaky vessel. Man, I can get on fire for God. I can get close to God. God begin to work and stirring in my heart. Boy, I can get close to God and He'll pour that oil in my heart. But it's just a few days later, I start running empty again. It leaks out. It leaks out. This thing's a daily struggle. It's not just, you can't get just enough on Sunday morning to make it all week. Even on Sunday night and Wednesday night, that's that personal time, just you and God throughout the week. That's what you need to keep. If you're going to stay close to God all week long, it's going to take some personal time, just you and Him through the week. I got a leaky vessel and I need Him to, but I'm glad, thank God, if I bring it to Him, He don't mind to keep refilling and refilling. You know, if you're telling somebody about the Lord and you're trying to serve Him, that's what you're doing, is pouring that oil out to somebody else. You pour enough out to people, you're going to get tired and weary, and you're going to have to get refilled yourself. You keep pouring out, eventually you're going to run out. You're going to have to bring it back to Him and say, Lord, I need some more. I need some more oil. Or if you're like me, you stumble and fall. I'm clumsy physically and spiritually, I guess you could say. Stumble and fall, mess up, and I spill it. I'll spill my oil. I have to go and ask Him to forgive me again. Lord, it's me again. Lord, I done it again. Lord, I messed up again. I flew off the handle and said something I shouldn't again. I got mad or done something I shouldn't have again. I done spilled all my oil out. I done lost it all. I'm glad He'll forgive us and He'll refill it. He'll fill it back up again. Notice we talked about those requirements. All they had to be was empty. I don't find where it had to be new or old. I don't find where the vessel had to be big or little. I don't even find where it had to be very clean. It just had to be empty. You say, preacher, you don't know where I've been, what I've done. God can't do nothing with my life. I disagree. Paul said he was chief of sinners, and we see all the things that God done in his life. It don't matter where you've been or what you've done. You may have some bad scratches on your vessel. You may have some scars in your heart and your life from things that you've been through. God don't mind. God's not looking for a necessarily pretty vessel. It don't have to be a new or an old vessel. It don't even have to be perfectly clean. He'll clean it. He'll clean the vessel. He'll get the dirt out of it for you if you'll let him have it. He don't care how dirty or how beat up, scratched up it is, where it's been. What, it don't even matter what it's had in it. He'll take it and he'll fill it. He'll do something with it if you'll just give it to him. No matter where you've been or what you've done, friend, God do something in your heart and in your life. He wants to. He's got a plan for your life. You say, preacher, I've wasted most of it. God's got a plan for the rest of your life starting right now if you'll just let him have it. I promise you, he'll do something with your life right now if you'll give it to him, no matter how old or how young. You say, preacher, I'm too young to do anything for God. No, you're not. Some of the greatest things God ever done, he used young people to do it with. It don't matter. You ain't got to be a certain age to do something for God. You can do something for God right now if you'll just give him your vessel. Say, Lord, my vessel ain't very big yet. Still pretty new. I don't even know really how to use it too well. But Lord, if you can do something with it, if you can fill it up, here you go. Here's my vessel. And he'll do something with it, I promise you will, if you'll let him have it. He just needs a willing, empty vessel. I thought about her children that were saved. Thank God the oil and the vessels worked. What the man of God said worked. She done what he said. She filled all those vessels. They took and sold that oil. They paid off the debt. Not only did it meet the immediate need in their life, but it met other needs in the future because the Bible said that they lived off of that oil. It didn't just pay the immediate debt right then and there, but it met their needs for days to come. God don't want to just meet the big need in your life right now, but he wants to meet the daily small needs that we face every day as well. He wants to meet all the needs in our lives, big or small. He wants to meet them all. I'm glad it was sufficient. The oil was sufficient. I'll give you this. This is my heart and I'm done. Had there not been a willing neighbor to offer an empty vessel, her children would have went on to be slaves. God wanted to work a miracle in her life, but that miracle depended on somebody else's obedience. God's willing, God's able, God wants to do something in their life, but he may be waiting on your obedience to do it. God wants to meet the need in their life, but he's waiting on a neighbor to give an empty vessel to do it. Do you realize that somebody's children, where they spend eternity and what kind of life they live, their future, their outcome may be dependent on you and your obedience to what God wants you to do. You see, she tried everything she could do to meet the need in her life, but she needed something from her neighbors. There's a world full of people today, they're trying to fix things in their life. There's a wife that's about to lose her husband. There's a husband and wife about to lose their children. Whatever the need may be, they're doing all they can do themselves to fix the problems and meet the needs in their life. But they need some help. And God wants to use your vessel to help them. He's waiting on you just to be obedient and offer it up. God's just waiting on somebody to surrender. Say, here it is, Lord. Take my vessel and do with it what you want to. I don't know your heart as we stand. If